Good evening. It is such a privilege to be with you here tonight, Tuesday evening at our youth meeting. Have you been enjoying the meetings thus far? I trust you have. Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Ted. My name is Ted Deer, kind of like Bambi, the bouncy animal jumping over the, you know, highway in front of you. Hopefully not. But my name is Ted Deer, and most recently I've been the chaplain here at College Heights Church and the high school and the elementary and even overlapping into Berman for several years as well. And one thing I've noticed, whether I've worked with people in the kindergarten age, all the way on up through the high school, all the way through university, is that it is hard to be still. You see, that's the topic of our week here, of our virtual camp meeting. Be still at the youth department. Be still. And I've noticed that it is hard to be still no matter what age you are. Let me explain. When I was young, I'm the youngest of four kids. There's two boys and there's two girls. And as we would sit at the kitchen table, my mom would ask, "Who's shaking the table?" And invariably enough, it was always me. I would be there and my leg would be just bouncing. And mom would feel the table shaking and say, "Who's shaking the table?" When now that I am a parent, a father, and my wife and I have two young children, ages 2 and 4, and it's incredible because I see characteristics of myself coming out now in them. Lord have mercy. And I ask the question once in a while, "Who's shaking?" And it's my son. He's shaking the table in the same way that I would be doing, sitting on his knees and shaking the table. And so I find myself saying the same thing that my parents would be saying while at supper time. Be still. Stop shaking the table. Sit nice. You see, we have troubles being still. And when we're younger, it's usually being still physically. But when we get older, it's usually being still in a different way. This theme, be still, probably every speaker that you'll hear speak will probably mention Psalms 46:10, where it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, it's true. It could be in a very physical sense of being still and knowing God, but maybe the author, the writer of this Psalms, David, is speaking about being still in another way. You see, we as a world have just come out of several months of this COVID pandemic where really God has had us be still. Our life of regularity was interrupted. And there wasn't the regular entertainment to do. There wasn't the regular, you know, sports to watch or the events to go to. Maybe there wasn't the regular work routine. Or maybe your school was more than likely interrupted and it wasn't regular as well. And we had the opportunity to be still. And it was a little interesting for myself not to have the regular routine of going to work, which was working with young people at school and chaplaincy, and then coming home and doing the regular family activities. And I found myself, as I'm sure many of you did, was kind of some spare time on our hands and the opportunity to be still. It was almost as if I see a Facebook post about this, where it was like God saying, "The whole world, you've all been kind of bad. It's time to go to your rooms now and take some quiet time out." And in that time, when you send a young person to the room, if you've ever been sent there, your parents are hoping that you would then sit and reflect and, you know, think about what you've done and why you've been sent to your room. I know that God didn't do that to the world, but it kind of seemed like that. But we had the opportunity to be still and to reflect upon life. And I just want to urge us to briefly consider how God is calling us to be still so that we might know Him. I once saw this little caption. It says, "Know God, know peace." But if you know God, you will know peace. Kind of like a little prescription for having peace in your life, but I want to put a spin on it. And the spin I want to put on it is this. There's a formula for knowing God. You see, there's a formula for almost every discipline in life that you want to pursue. If you want to pursue and be good at academics, what do you have to do? You're going to have to put some effort into the studies. If you want to be good at sports, athletics, or at music, or the arts, what do you got to do? Practice, 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 because it makes that perfect. There's kind of a formula. And so to know God, you must be still. Be still and know God. But we also talked about already how being still is not just a cessation of physical movement. Although that is a great attribute of having peace in your life and knowing God, as we're going to discover. It's interesting because, I got to tell you a story. With my children and how they're starting to get more and more rambunctious and energetic, I find myself reiterating this Bible story that I have read to them more than once now. It's the story of Jesus out on the Sea of Galilee. He's with his disciples, and what's he doing in the boat? He's sleeping. And the Sea of Galilee is in this big, raging storm. And I like to act out the stories for my children as I read them. And so at that point, Jesus has woken up and he stands up. And then what does he do? He raises his hands and he says, "Peace, be still." And so I find myself doing that now in my household once in a while when my kids are running around. I'm like, put my hands up, and right away chucking, they'll chuckle and they'll laugh and they'll say, "Peace, be still," and they'll get the point of why I'm doing that. But peace, be still. To know God, be still. Be still. I want to read you this little excerpt from Dear Auntie Ellen White. If you allow her to speak into your life, it's incredible. I always didn't, you know, appreciate her and what she wrote, but that was a whole other journey. But I came to love her when I was probably older than some of you are now. And I really appreciate her. It says this: "An intensity such as never before was seen in taking possession of the world, in amusement, in money making, in the contest for power, in the very struggle for existence. There is a terrible force that engrosses body, mind, and soul. In the midst of this maddening rush, God is speaking. He bids us come apart and commune with him. Be still and know that I am God." From Psalms 46:10, of course. The opportunity to slow down, to be still, and to know God. Interestingly enough, if you look up the Hebrew behind the word for be still, it talks about letting go or surrendering or relaxing or being quiet. And so it's surrendering to God and his desires in your life. It's letting go of your own agenda and inviting God into your life. It's realizing that you need to relax and be quiet in your daily struggle of busyness life and asking him to give input into your life. Well, how does all that happen? I want to share with you something that's a great passion of mine. You see, for the past 6 years, I have been a chaplain here in the various campuses on the hilltop at the college church. But recently, I've made a transition to a ministry called In Discipleship. And in discipleship, plain and simple, is living daily as a disciple for Jesus. And it's such a passion of mine that God has called us as a family to work in these lines directly. And you may have already caught one of our morning programs if you get up that early. Because you see it's at 7 o'clock. And so tomorrow morning, 7 to 8, you might want to join us for that morning segment of learning how to live as a disciple. But nevertheless, I want to share with you the first practical step of living daily as a disciple, and really is all about being still and knowing God. And that is principle number one. It's found in Isaiah 50 verse 4. It's found in Isaiah 50 verse 4. And again, this is just a simple, practical tip that we've already shared in a morning session a few days ago, but I want to just share it with you here this evening. In Isaiah 50 verse 4, the second part of the chapter, verse, actually I'll read the whole thing. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who was weary. And listen to this. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. What are we talking about? We're talking about being still and knowing God. To know God, we must be still. To be still is to spend time, I believe wholeheartedly, with God. Mark 1:35 tells the story of how Jesus, very early in the morning, while it was still yet dark, he got up, went off to a solitary place, and there prayed. Jesus, our example in everything that you know he did and we were to follow, got up early in the mornings and spent time with his heavenly Father to receive instruction, to spend time together, to receive encouragement for the day to come. And so the first principle in living as a disciple to know God and to be still is actually starting the night before and making a covenant with God and saying, God, you can wake me up at whatever time you want in the morning. I did this with our campus ministries team back at PAA this past year, and some of them looked at me really puzzledly and said, Pastor, Chaplain, you know we got a crazy amount of stuff going on in school, so how can we lose any more sleep? I'm like, you know, give it a try. Trust me, God who orchestrates the universe is able still to yet give you the strength you need for your day if he wishes to wake you up even at 2 a.m. And he's done that. It's amazing. So I want to ask you and challenge you. Try this. In order to know God and to be still, the night before, pray and make a covenant with God and say, God, I am willing that you would wake me up at whatever time in the morning you wish, and we could spend time together in your word. You see, that's the primary way that God really speaks to us, is through his word. And they tried it, my students. And it was amazing because some of them came back with incredible stories. It says right here, all who are under the training of God need a quiet hour or quiet time, because an hour may seem difficult for you. May need a quiet hour for communion with their own hearts, with nature, with God. We must individually hear him speaking to the heart when every other voice is hushed. And in the quietness we wait before him, the silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God. He bids us be still and know that I am God. It's like Elijah when he went on the mountainside, he wanted to see God. What did God do? He sent a wind, and then he sent an earthquake, and then he sent a fire. But God wasn't in any of that. He was in the gentle whisper. And so we are told that in order to know God, we're to be still, and to be still is to spend time, I wholeheartedly believe, with our Lord and Savior through his written word, free from the distractions of what is going on around us, and giving him time, even by asking him to wake us up early in the morning. It's a radical idea, I know, but it's biblical. Jesus lived his life that way. I'm going to share with you a story. Does this really work? This past spring, we were on a mission trip to the Bahamas. Just before COVID broke loose and everything happened, we went to the Bahamas because at Berman University, there's quite a few students from the Bahamas, and we went to work with them and their families and their homes. And as the trip deadline approached, the decision was still made to go. Even though we weren't sure how the pandemic was going to unfold, there had been no regulation given yet, and so we went, and we were able to do quite a bit of work, and it was phenomenal to meet the parents of some of our students and to work, and they were grateful, and it's true that our trip got cut short, and we had to be, brought home early, and that was okay, though, because, the governments were shutting the borders down and such. We got home safely, hallelujah. That was just a miracle story as well, and many miracles. It was just great to see the work that was done, even in a short time. But here, you remember how anybody who had traveled, they were to do what? They were to what? Be self-quarantined for 2 weeks. So I came home and, good-naturedly tried to follow the guidelines. And so I was in a room that is a studio in our room. We took our attached garage and we had it converted by just inspiration of God, actually, into a whole media room. And so I was spending the 2 weeks there. And it's kind of funny because one of the readily accessible snacks I had while there in the studio was a bag of peanuts. Peanuts! And I love them. And so I just ate so many that I actually kind of like almost overdosed my immune system on peanuts, and I developed an allergy. It was terrible. And I love peanuts, and so my body is flush of them now, and I think I'm able to eat them again. Don't do that. Here, while I was there, kind of self-quarantining myself from my family for 2 weeks, I would pray this prayer, you know, in the evening, and ask God to wake me up should he desire for anything special that he would want to share from his heart to me. Well, one morning, God awoke me about 2 a.m. or so, and this is what I had an impression upon my heart. You see, my wife, when I got married, she'd asked for a dog. And now I grew up with dogs on the farm all my life, but living in the city, I just didn't really want a dog. And so I would tell her, well, maybe when we get a child, you know, when we get a baby, because a baby will need a dog to play with. Well, we had a little boy, and then she said, how about now? I said, no, not yet, until he grows older. And then he grew older, and then she said, how about now? I said, no, not yet. Wait, then we might have another baby. So then we had another baby, and that baby got about 2 years old. And then she said, well, what about now? We have older kids, you know, and they could enjoy playing with them. I said, well, not quite yet. What if we move to the country? And then so we moved to the country. And she said, how about now? And I said, well, no, look, at this summer, we're going to be traveling to general conference session. We've got to travel to different meetings. And how are we going to have a dog in our life? Well, what just happened? Of course, COVID shut everything down. We weren't traveling anywhere. And the thought had kind of come to my mind once or twice. But then here, 2 a.m., woke up, and this overwhelming thought came to me. Go and check the classifieds. Go and check. And so took on my phone, looked up the classifieds, and there, just hours before, there was listed the most beautiful dog that I would have chosen because it was the same kind I grew up, a lab, a beautiful lab, and as the ad showed that he needed to have a new home because his previous owners couldn't give him enough care and attention anymore. And I looked, he had been just posted hours before. And we were like the first ones then to reply to the ad. So long story short, we got the most beautiful dog with a cage, with all the supplies and the dishes and the food, and he had shots, and he had papers, and it came all for the great, incredible price of free. God had given an answer by waking me up early, and gave us a beautiful dog. His name was Charlie. He's part of the family now. Come over and see him sometime. But here's the incredible thing. God desires to be involved in every aspect of your life. Doesn't have to be just in, you know, a part about a walk with him where you're worried about, is your prayer life all right or your devotional life is all right. He cares about your pet. He cares about what is on your heart. He cares. He knows your name. And what he is just most excited about is a relationship with you. And how is that accomplished? It's by slowing down enough that he can have opportunity to speak into your life. And how is that accomplished? Well, I'd like to share that because it's a passion of mine about living as a disciple for Jesus. That was Jesus's, some of his last instructions. Go and make disciples of all nations. You know, live as a disciple and teach others to be as a disciple. And so my appeal to you as a young person is live for Jesus. Allow him to speak into your life. You know, what greater time in earth's history than now? Than to be, you know, available to Jesus, to be in relationship with him, and to let him be in control of your life. When I was your age, I kind of did my own thing for a while, but I always knew God was calling me. But when I answered his call upon my life, it was the most satisfying sense of, you know, fulfillment, to know that I was in God's plan. Wasn't always easy, but he has built a relationship with me that I can rely upon him every moment to follow as he leads. So I want to encourage you to know God, spend time with God by being still, being in his word. This has been an incredible camp meeting thus far. I know it's different than we have ever experienced before, and there are still some great speakers coming up night after night yet as we look towards the weekend. I want to encourage you though and make an appeal to you now. tonight as you go to bed, why not ask God, God, I'll make a covenant with you that you could wake me up at whatever time you want in the morning, and I will spend time with you through your written word. You know, there's more principles of living as a disciple, and of course, one of them is God's word and how to make that alive and vibrant, but we could catch up on that on a morning session. But that's the appeal I want to make and leave with you tonight, is that in this world that is very fast-paced, why not take an opportunity to spend time with God that's unrushed and that's unpressured and it's in peace between you and Jesus? I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus return. And when Jesus returns, that will be just simply an opportunity to let come alive what we've already been experiencing together in relationship on this earth, because then we'll see him face to face. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Let us pray. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for this time of camp meeting 2020 that finds us worshiping together in a different way. But because of what Jesus has done, this earth has hope. This earth has a point when Jesus will return and we get to go home to heaven. I'm looking forward to that day, and I just pray, Jesus, that as we have shared together tonight, you simply desire to be in relationship with us. And we can do that. As you would lead, as we would follow through your written word, through you waking us up to speak to our ears, Lord, I ask that every young person who has listened here tonight, that they would be inspired, that you care so greatly about who they are and that you have their best interest at heart, and that what matters to them matters to you. So, dear God, I pray you speak in a way that they would know it is you. May your relationship grow together. And God, we are excited that indeed, Jesus, you are going to return soon. Please usher, guide, take our footsteps toward heaven is my prayer, Jesus, for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.